told there's no rabbi Yishai Eshmidman tomorrow.
I know, thank you. They told me that before.
Hmm?
Okay. Here we go. This is our 10th session in Sefer Musar Avicha. By the way, just in Diktuk, Musar is the study. When you make a nismach, when one word is connected to the next, it becomes not Musar, but Musar. That's why I say Musar Avicha. It's the study of Musar, but Musar of is Musa. Musar Avicha. The Musar of your father. We are up to page Mem, and we're in for a deep concept today. Ezras Hashem. Last week we did the piece called Bechol Derachecha De'ehu. Again, we're in the second chapter, which is all about ordering and setting up the midos properly. And Bechol Derachecha De'ehu, in a word, Rav Kook's insight was that Bechol Derachecha De'ehu, which is a pasuk, means within all of your ways know him, and not without. It means whichever way you are engaged in, whatever area of service of Hashem, see Hashem entirely within that. When I'm davening, I needn't worry about achieving chachma. When I'm doing chesed, I need not worry about davening. Whatever area of service of Hashem we are involved in, we should be fully involved in. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivayachol is entirely there. That is an abridged version of that last section we saw last week. And now today is our 10th session. We're on page Mem. Today is the 22nd of Iyar, the 14th of May, belated Happy Mother's Day. Okay, so we have Musar Avicha, it's really more Father's Day, but the other part of the pasuk is Val Tita Shtaras Imecha. Okay, Os Gimel, letter Gimel there on the page. Koach HaKaras HaTova Umalos HaAvoda Me'ahava. The power, or I would say the powerful faculty of a person of recognizing good, acknowledging good, and the levels of serving Hashem out of love. We'll see what he means by all that. This is a deep idea. This is the type of section that if you read it quickly, you wouldn't have any idea what he's talking about, but we will try to focus and figure it out, Be'ezras Hashem. Yesod Tikkun HaAvoda. The foundation of, when we talk in Svarim about Tikkun, fixing something, it means setting something up in the optimal way. Everything seeks its tikkun, to be set up optimally. So the foundation of tikkun havodah, of setting up our service of Hashem, who l'sader kol davar v'chol koach, is to set up, to arrange everything and every force, every faculty, bein b'nefesh u bein ba'olam, whether in the soul or in the world, which you could say internally or externally, or micro and macro. B'yosher al machono, properly on its proper stand. Everything should be in its right place. The lo lahapech hasadarim, and not to reverse the orders, to put things out of arrangement, out of order. V'lam noa bozeh hashpoas hakochos, and to thereby inhibit and impede the zeh hashpo means influence, but it also means like the flow of bounty, the forces. In other words, when things are set up properly, they function. If you have a machine, so when all the gears are in the right place, it runs optimally. If things are out of order, you get things, all the pieces are there, but it's not set up properly. It either doesn't function well or it doesn't function at all. So there are so many examples of that in the physical world that are really just a mashal for the way things are in the spiritual world. Things have to be set up properly. It happens to be a particular emphasis in Kabbalah that things have to be in a certain order. Sometimes even where the halacha is not so such a stickler for what order you do it in Kabbalah, it has to be in order. But even in halacha, we find that things have to be set up properly. Ha'elokim asa asa adam va'olam yashar. God made man and the world straight. That's an adaptation of the pasuk. There's a pasuk in Koheles that God made man straight. V'hema bikshu chishbonos rabim. But they sought many schemes, many machinations, meaning basically, man is made proper and he corrupts himself. That's a pasuk in Koheles. So he's saying it about man and about the world, because the world is a microcosm, a macrocosm of man. So God made man and the world straight. Bimlo hakochos vohem tzoyim hadrushim l'shlemus hagufa neshama. With the complete set of faculties and media that are necessary for the completion, for achieving the highest level of completion of both body and soul. God made this great creature called man. He's the greatest creature on earth. And he gave him all of the faculties he needs for himself and for his world to be in the optimal, to be set up in the optimal way, to bring them out. We always talk about bringing min ha-koach el ha-po'el. Koach means it's in force, it's potentially that way. Po'el means in action. Koach we would call potential, and el ha-po'el means carried out to fruition. So to bring out all of his great faculties to fruition. L'heitiv u'l'haskel, to do good and to be wise. V'hamavatel es ha-seder. And one who negates, one who nullifies the order, hanimshach mehanagosa yisparach. This whole paragraph is an introduction, by the way. There's a specific example of this that he wants to talk about, so he's giving us an introduction. But one who negates, who corrupts the order, hanimshach mehanagosa yisparach, that draws from his, hanagosa really means conduct, but his guidance, meaning Hashem made the world. He wrote the handbook. In fact, he made the world based on the handbook. He looked in the Torah and created the world. So one who negates that order, you know, if I think I know better, he said, do it this way, set it up like this. And I said, no, I'm going to do it like that. Arehu machriv maharis, he destroys and he ruins. And he gives us a mashal. Kemo misha oshek mehagufes atinua hadrushalo. Like, it's always helpful for us to see something in an analogy that we relate to. Somebody who steals away, who denies the body the movement that it needs. Kamosha Yishkav Tamid Makupal Kapinkas. Like he'll sit constantly folded up like a tablet, like it's like one of these writing tablets that they would fold. Veloyozuz Mimkoma Veloyozuz Evarav. And he doesn't move and he doesn't leave from his place and he doesn't move any of his limbs. Shebavada Yevatal Bazechi Yosaguf. What does it do? It nullifies, it ruins the life force of the body. As we know, God forbid a person who is laid up, it very much weakens the body. So if God forbid you were to force somebody who has potential and has energy to stay still like a stone, it ruins the person. The person has all kinds of physical faculties that are now atrophied. So the soul is the same way, and more so. Cain, similarly, Misha Monea es Nafsho, somebody who withholds from his soul, Me'atnuos Hadrushos La. He's using the word tenua means movement. So the movements that it needs. That doesn't mean a physical. When you talk about the movements of the soul, just like a body needs exercise, needs to do things, a soul needs the same. We're using the word movement. It's a little bit of a funny usage. But it means what the soul needs, the action that the soul needs. Harehu oshek memena es chuka. He's withholding from it. Chok means a law, but it means like a law of nature. There are chukos teva. Physical body needs this, a child needs these experiences, an adult needs this, people need certain stimulation, they need certain activity. The neshama also needs it. You're withholding from it its law, what it needs. Umuchrachas lehiskalko. And it will have to become ruined. It has faculties that need to be exercised. You withhold them, it ruins it. And ulefi erech hapu'ula v'cheskosa haru'yula. And per the value or the weight of the action and its force that it needs, l'fi hemshech ha'akara shlema, per its recognition of true completion, which comes from Hashem, kain yia hezek b'minyasa, so will be the damage from its withholding, meaning the more the neshama needs based on what it knows of Hashem or understands of Hashem, the more that's a spiritual need, the more you withhold it, causes damage. The greater the need, the greater the damage from withholding it. And he says, "Kol haTorah benuya gam kein al pisoda hemshech l'inyan hanefesh," and the entire Torah is built on this secret, this concept of the again hemshech means like what you draw, what the neshama draws, kefi masha yotzra yodea inyana v'kosva, per what its creator knows its matters and its longings. The Torah was written by God. There's an old saying. Other religions were written by man to define God. The Torah was written by God to define man. The Torah is all about what we're supposed to do. It's not so much theology. We don't know so much what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. He's inscrutable. Well, most of it's about what we're supposed to do. The whole Torah is mitzvahs that we are supposed to do. And it's the most healthy thing for the nefesh. It's the drawing down from the most spiritual realms to the nefesh what it needs, given its arrangement and its setup. And Hashem knows it's in inyan, which means its matters, the kosva and its longings, harotwi bamita sachachma, that are appropriate and fitting per the truth of chachma. So the whole Torah is based on that. So we don't want to withhold the usage of any spiritual force, the way it's supposed to be set up, because that's damages. Okay, you create something physical, you create a machine, and this is what you have to do. You have to lubricate these gears, you have to run this, every 20 days do this. You don't do that, it gets ruined. So the neshama is a very powerful machine, and the one who created it tells you what it needs, and to not exercise it properly or to corrupt the order of how it's supposed to work is literally like taking a person and making him sit all bound up and not moving for a prolonged period of time. Next paragraph, bottom of Mem. So with that introduction, now that we know that the kochos of the nefesh have to be practiced and set up properly, so now he has a specific insight based on that. Hakoach shel hakaras tova hu koach gadol benefesh. The force of hakaras tova. Hakaras tova means acknowledging good. Is a powerful force, a powerful faculty of the soul. So it's not just a social thing. Somebody does something nice to you, you say thank you. It comes from a very deep place spiritually. Shekefi ma'alas taharosa, that per the level of its purity, yigdal hakosef shel hotza'osa lepo'el, so will increase the longing for bringing it out to fruition. The greater and more spiritual a person is, the more pure he has an awareness of hakaras hatov, the more it needs to be expressed. Okay, ultimately, Avraham Avinu is the one who said, somebody is showering all of this blessing of the whole universe upon me. I have to acknowledge that. That's Avraham Avinu. Other people fail to do so. But the greater, the more pure the power of Hakaras HaTov is within an neshama, the more it needs to express it. Ukefi Masha HaAdam Shalem, and per the degree that a person is complete, going into Mem Aleph, Bidato, in his das, in his mind, is knowledge. Mismala hisrash muso mimenu. Per that, so will his being impressioned by it be more filled. I mean, the greater, in a word, the greater a person is, the more he feels an overriding hakaras hatov. I'm the beneficiary of something, and the greater he is, the more he'll be moved to feel, I have to acknowledge. Utenuazo, and this, again, he's using the word movement. We don't think of Hakaras HaTov of the Neshama as a movement, but it's a spiritual movement. Just like running is a physical movement, expressing Hakaras HaTov is a movement of the Nefesh. Yeah.
So when you say the greater a person is, the greater his desire to express Hakaras HaTov, or the measure of greatness of a person is his understanding that it isn't him, therefore he has to appreciate the Hakaras HaTov.
Well,
is the Hakaras HaTov based on the humility of the great person? Here's the great person, he's great. You could go like, he's great, he has to express his Hakaras HaTov, or he's so great in his humility, he recognized that it isn't him, therefore he expresses.
Well, I think it's both. He's saying a Tohar HaNefesh, purity of the soul, recognizes, feels
the Hakaras HaTov, yeah, because they right. know it isn't him.
It isn't him, or just...
it's grateful for whatever greatness
yeah,
he has.
He's saying it's a murkiness of the spiritual perception to not feel in a state of Hakaras HaTov. But the more pure the person is, the more touchy is with his neshama, the greater the neshama, the more he's overwhelmed with Hakaras HaTov. And he says, "Utenuazo he me'atenuas hayoser chashuvos banefesh." And this, again, we'll use the word movement. It doesn't sound so fitting in English, but this movement, this action, is one of the most important ones of the soul. Okay, what is a soul? This is an entity that has free will, that can actually make a decision, has to decide to serve its creator. What is a soul? It's a beneficiary. Really, the whole world is just God, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a soul, so the soul has to feel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stepped back and gave one other being the ability to consider, should I, shouldn't I? And that's a person. What should he feel? I'm the beneficiary. So, b'yesod chuka hamatim l'shlemus hamatzias b'amitas hachachma helyona. From the foundation of, again, chuka means like its nature, it's carved in nature. Matim, the word matim means to jive, to be in sync with the completion of Metzias, which means existence, according to the truth of the Chachma Elyon. I think what he means is that the Sifrei Emunah speak at great length about the soul feeling a need to express its thanksgiving to Hashem. The greater a person is, the more he feels it. He said, this is a powerful force within the soul. If I'm not feeling it, it means I'm not in touch with something. Kol ma shetigdal hatova, all the more, third line in Mem Aleph, all the more that the goodness is greater. V'chol ma shetasmid yoser, and all the more that it's constant. Let's talk about the goodness that we benefit from. And what he's saying right now is really an idea that the Chovas Levavos talks about at length. V'chein kol ma shiruchak erach hamakabal mehanosen, and all the more that there's a distance between the value of the recipient, the beneficiary, and the value and the greatness of the benefactor. In other words, if two equal people are interacting and one person gives another person a present, oh, thank you very much, so kind of you. But if I'm a lowly earthworm and the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, the master of all the universe, gives me something, that makes for a much greater Hakar Satov. So the greater the good is, the more constant the good is, the greater the distance between the giver and the recipient, Kefi Romamus Hanosein Hametiv, per the loftiness of the giver, the doer of good. He means the ultimate doer of good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, per the degree to which we understand how great Hashem is and above us, Ko Tigdal HaTeshuka Shel HaKaras HaTova, so will grow, Teshuka is a strong yearning, so will grow the yearning for HaKaras HaTova. I deserve this, and it's not just once, it's constantly, it's not 1 minute of life, it's ongoing. So, and by the Chov Tzavos goes through this at length. So the Neshama feels this. Umitzad Shleimus Hamatzias HaKlalis, and from the perspective of the completion of general existence, he goes back and forth between talking about the individual and talking about the world. So from the perspective of existence at large, B'yosher ha-chochma al-yona b'mitasa, per the straight direction of the lofty chochma and its truth, bo chiyuv shleimus ha-avoda, comes the obligation of completeness in avoda. In other words, there's avoda. I did a mitzvah, I said a brocha, I did this. And then there's seeking completion, seeking the fullest level of avoda. So the obligation to pursue the greatest level of service of Hashem, mitoch chok ha-karas ha-tova, from the law, he's saying it's like as a law of nature, the natural law of acknowledging good that I've received. So what he's just said is that Avodas Hashem is predicated on Hakaras HaTov, which is an idea that is recurring in the Sefer Chovos Halevavos. It's actually a little bit in contrast to the Rambam. The Rambam seems to present that man's yearning to serve God comes from just his contemplating the greatness of the world, the chachma of it. There's this great being I'm looking around and I see in the wisdom of Torah and the wisdom of the world, this great being who I want to come closer to. The Rambam seems to predicate it on das, on chachma, and the Chovos Halevavos more so on thanksgiving. It's not just that I find this fascinating and I want to come close to it, but I'm the beneficiary of it. Therefore, I have a debt, an immeasurable debt of gratitude.
Is he saying that the gratitude should be more natural? You should try to get it to be more natural instead of, like, it should become part of you, it should become more...
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. He's saying that the purer the neshama, the more it must be so. He's saying it's an overwhelming feeling. Which, again, you read the classic story, in particular the Chovos Halevavos, you'll see it almost everywhere in the Chovos Halevavos. Avodas Hashem is predicated on this enormous debt of gratitude that's just overwhelming that a person feels. To whom does he have that gratitude? L'hametiv ha'amiti baruch hu, to the true metiv. Metiv means one who does good. Ba'asos hatov ha'yosher ba'ini Hashem yisbarach. How do you express that across the tale? Now, in these next words, he's, I believe, addressing a question. To anyone else, to any other being, so he did good to me, I return the favor. That's called hakaras hatov. You were nice to me, I say something nice to you, or do something nice to you. The problem is, when it comes to the Almighty, the Pasuk in Iyo says, "In tzedakta matitin lo," If you were righteous, what have you given to him? He, yeah. You know, he is needless. Every other creature has some needs. You did something nice to me, so I try to help address a need or a want of yours. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no needs and no wants. So what is Hakaras HaTov? What is acknowledging good, thanking, returning the good when you're addressing a needless, the creator of heaven and earth? That's sort of what he's grappling with, yeah.
But wouldn't it be that you kept, you can't get back to Hashem, but you can follow and emulate his ways and give to the next person in a way that you're showing that you appreciate it because of how...
Okay, he's not even making so much give it to the next person, but basically what you said, he's going to say, Hashem in his wisdom, which is beyond us, decreed that by going in his ways, that's like giving back. It's not literally giving back because he doesn't receive anything. To the degree that the Svarm even asked the question, how could there have been a rutzon, a will of God to have a world before he had a world? Because that would imply that there was a moment that he wanted something he didn't have, which is a philosophical question. But Hashem has no needs and no wants, that we know. We don't know, we don't understand him, but he has no needs and no wants. But his wisdom decreed that fulfilling his will takes on the properties as if you're doing Hakaras HaTov. And we often phrase it that way. What did you do for God lately? Which, of course, is a silly question. You can't do anything for him anyway. But we, very often, Chazal and our Sfarim talk in terminology that Rashi describes as a lesaber es ha'ozen, to put it in a term that the ear can hear. We anthropomorphize. We put terms about Hashem. We don't mean it literally, but that's what he's talking about here. That in his hashkach, which means the way he oversees and interacts with the actions of his creatures, which means man, shahadvarim hatovim ahochlim bedrochav, that the good things which are going in his ways, Rav Kook borrowed Janet's usage there, bahalachta bedrochav, yitvu ba'enav, will be good in his eyes. Now what does it mean it'll be good in his eyes? He doesn't need it. And so dakta matiten, if you're righteous, what did you give to him? He doesn't need it. He doesn't need our service. Hashem doesn't need my karban. He doesn't need my Mincha doesn't need my chesed, doesn't need anything. V'haroyim heim neged ritzon kodesho, and those that are bad are against his will. Doesn't harm him, but it's against his will. Al pi seder ma'arochos kedushos ha'olamos v'hefchei kedusha b'ham. He set it up in the setup of the holiness of the world and things that are antithetical to kedusha in the various worlds. But often in such a way, sha'akaras ha'tova tehei pu'ula mo'elis mamish. He set it up in such a way that Hakaras HaTova, acknowledging good, thanking, so to speak, he set it up in a way that it actually does something good. Mo'elis means it actually helps. Mo'elis mamash, it literally helps. He set it up that way. It's not that he really needs it. The unspoken question, all these words, what he's addressing is, what do you mean you showed Hakaras HaTova to Hashem? What do you mean you served him and that's how you showed Hakaras HaTova? He doesn't need it anyway. The answer is he set up the olamos, all the worlds, the spiritual world, in such a way that when you do Hakaras HaTov, it's beneficial. It's as if you benefited him.
Does that mean like if you have more Hakaras HaTov, you get more bracha?
Yeah, and he makes it as if similar to in human terms. You have to realize it's as if, because we're not really. Hashem doesn't need me to say that. Hashem, you know, I really thank you for Sarah, so therefore I'm offering you this karma. Okay. Doesn't help.
See more bracha than what you have.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true.
So when you say beneficial, so beneficial to whom?
Why? To the world, to the Metzias. He set it up that way. Okay. I think, again, what he's trying to point out, though, is the obvious question is it shouldn't really benefit because you can't benefit him. But look what he writes. Shehichnis kiviyachol atzmo liratzos ba. Kiviyachol is a word we use whenever we say Hashem did. It's as if Hashem did it, as if it were possible. So kivayachal, as if it's possible, he put himself into it, l'ratos, but to be appeased by it, as if he benefits from it, as if he feels better from it. Ukefi shleimus hamasada ve'erach ritzon yisbarach, kein erach hatikun v'avoda hanimshach me'aholuch b'derach hatov l'hashlam ha'karas tavos l'ametiv baruch hu. And per the greatness of the one who set it up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his will, so is the value of the tikkun and the avoda that comes from a person who goes in good ways to fulfill Hakaras HaTov to the one who is mated. I think basically saying the same idea. Hashem set it up this way, therefore expressing Hakaras HaTov in the form of avodas Hashem does good. We may not understand exactly how it does it, but that's the way Hashem said about it. Our avodas Hashem, serving Hashem, is supposed to be predicated on hakaras hatov, even though it doesn't really help him. If you do me a favor and I return a favor, you understand how that helps you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did me infinite favors, and I'm quote-unquote returning the favor. We don't really understand how it helps him, but he set up the system that way, and we leave it at that.
Rabbi, doesn't that mean he set us up that way?
No.
And then it goes the other way?
Right, right. Yeah, us and everything around
that's
us.
That's the free will.
Yeah, right, right.
But we're made that way, so...
Yeah, the difficulty is, what am I really doing for him? But the answer is, he set up the world. By so doing, it's as if I've pleased him.
That's his will.
Right. Behine otzem hatznuas hachazakos. And behold, the might, the power of these great actions, shiroi shetimashech nafshenu mehen, that our neshama should be drawn from them, mitzad hakar satov el chastav baruch hu, from the perspective of recognizing the good of all of his chesed. Certainly, we are too weak to lahalos atzirena, means to bring up in our minds, to bring up in our imaginations, even a portion of them. We're always falling short of really grasping how much hakaras hatov we should have. The Musa's form, go through it, imagine just 1 second of life and so on and so on. But really, no matter what we do, we're falling short of even getting to a fraction of it. Vanu tzrichim lahargel atzmem, the whole idea of brachos, and hokeach evrim and mater asur, and all the brachos we say are to force ourselves to contemplate this a little bit, to recognize that our lives are full of brachos, with all the challenges and with all the things we're concerned about, but it's really immeasurable bracha every day. So vanu tzrichim lahargel atzmem, we have to train ourselves, ma'at ma'at, little by little, piecemeal, ba'or zeh, in this light, shelo techelash nafshenu mizahara, that our soul should not become weak from its radiance, meaning we shouldn't become darkened, we shouldn't become habituated to not seeing it. To the contrary, we have to train ourselves to be more and more attuned to it. Ve'ein shiur lachalishus hanefesh hamagiyala, there's no measure to the weakness and the weakening of the soul that comes to it, kishiyimanua mizeh hahemshech hamachuyiv b'chuka, when you hold it back from this. He keeps using the word hemshech. Hemshech means something you draw out from something holier than you, which is necessary, bechuka, in its very nature. Chok ha'emes shapu'ulos Hashem emes, which is part of the inculcated nature of Hashem of truth. All of his actions are true. What he's saying is that if a neshama is lacking hakaras hatov, he's saying you can't begin to estimate how crippled it is. He's saying this is the foundation of everything, and it's a very strong force of the neshama, and if I'm not allowing my neshama to practice hakaras hatov, to feel constant hakaras hatov, it's like taking a body and telling it to sit like this, handcuffed and folded over. It's crippling the neshama. That's why he gave the introduction that every koach hanefesh has to be exercised the same way those of the guf. And now he's telling you, and you should know, hakaras hatov is the aleph base. Lochein, therefore, bottom mem aleph. Bottom paragraph in Mem Aleph, Yesod Godolhu. It's a big Yesod, a big foundational principle. Lahargil Es Atzmeinu, that stands for Es Atzmeinu, Bederach Zeh, in this way, Shel Ahavoda Me'ahava, this path of Avoda Me'ahava, you'll see soon he's going to say, this is not really the only path of service out of love. In fact, it's not even one of the higher levels of serving Hashem out of love. But he's going to say it's rudimentary, and it's so rudimentary, it's so fundamental, that you can't skip over it. It's very important. So we have to train ourselves in this path of service out of love. Shemitzad hakaras hatovos aleinu. That comes from, again, when someone uses the term mitzad, it means from the side, it means from the perspective of recognizing the goodnesses that are bestowed upon us. Afal pi shehar beidrochim gedolim umufloim yoser mizeh bavodam ahava. Even though there are many paths that are greater and more wondrous than this one in serving Hashem out of love. This is service out of love 101, is hakaras hatov. There are many higher levels of it. And again, sometimes like the yetzaharas that these Musa's from talk about, we don't even relate to because they're so above us. But he's saying that there's a yetzahara, a tendency to want to, I want to serve Hashem with higher level love. But he's saying, no, don't skip over Hakaras Hatov. Hakaras Hatov is like the foundation. Don't skip over it. Mikol makom, nevelas e efshe lehimona gam mizeh. Also, you can't hold back from this too. V'kulon ke'echad tovim. And all of them together are good. It's also a paraphrase of a pasuk. But sometimes this is good, but this is also good. So don't skip over this one. You need to have them all. And now he says a very deep idea. This is a fantastic idea. Which really, you'll say, I think the footnote he'll show you comes from earlier sources. A lot of this sefer, he's giving us a glimpse into some of the ideas in Kabbalah Svarim, and ideas that are really much deeper, in case this isn't sufficiently deep for you. Omnam, however, or indeed actually, Zehu Gamkein Bechlal Kviyas Mokom L'Tfilaso. This is included in the idea of making a set place for tefillah. We all know about the idea of a makom kavua, davening in a set place. The Gemara in Bracha says, I think he's going to quote it soon, but it extols the virtue of somebody who's koveya makom l'tefillasa, who establishes a set place for his tefillah, to the degree possible. At a simple level, we take it to mean because you don't want to be distracted. You know, when I go visiting somewhere and I daven and I'm not used to this surrounding, so I try to daven, I'm a little distracted, but I daven in the same place I'm used to, so it does nothing distracts me. But that's at the most basic level. It's much deeper than that. So the Gemara in the first chapter brought, it's actually a typo, it should be Vavamid Beis in the footnote of Vavamid Aleph, but 6b in Tractate Brachos talks about establishing a set place for tefillah. So he tells you at a much deeper level what it means. Ki inyan makom hu madrega umala yadua. The idea of makom, when our sages talk about makom, place, it means a level, an advantage, a known and unchanging level. In the footnote here from his son, he cites numerous sources, among them the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam Mor Nevuchim in the first section talks about different words and how they're used. And in fact, I have these sources here by coincidence. The eighth chapter, the first section of Mor Nevuchim talks about Mokom and how the word Mokom is used by our sages. He develops the idea a little bit. It's really more so in the other sources that he quotes. For example, he tells me to look in Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, Hamakir Es Makomo, in the sixth chapter of Pirkei Avos, which is a very appropriate citation for now, because the reason why there is a sixth chapter of Pirkei Avos when there's really only five is because they added on a sixth to have because there's an extra week between Pesach and Shavuos, and these are the things we study leading up to Shavuos. So the last chapter is about Kinyan Torah. It's actually Brisa, not Mishnah. But it talks about what attributes help a person achieve Torah. And one of them is Makir Es Makomo. He knows his place. So in English, when you say you know your place, it means to be humble, and some actually explain it that way. But Rashi says Makir Es Makomo, knowing his place. It says Moko means your place is the fullest degree of what you understand of something. It's an amazing thing when you look at, let's say, a great thinker, a great posek, and he analyzes something so fully that this is his stance on it. You can show me 100 more sources, I've worked it through completely. Say, some of us, I learn something and I see it this way, then I learn a little more, now I see it that way, and then I see it, that means I'm not at my makom yet. Makom is when you've processed it fully, you're faculties have now processed this information or this chachma fully, and you're at your place. Rashi shows how Gemara and Sanhedrin, when they would talk about, they analyzed a certain question and they said that we're going to sleep on it, and the person comes back and he says, I'm on makomi, I'm on my place. What does that mean? It means I have no new view on it. What I said yesterday, that is my makom. So deeper svarim talk about that this has to do also with the usage when we talk about understanding Hashem. And every person's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his neshama has a certain amount that he or she can fathom, that he or she can relate to, and that is that person's makom. There's no such thing as the place of Hashem, because Hashem is infinite. There is such a thing as the place of any individual person's relationship to Hashem. And there's so many sources that talk about it. That's why when Moshe Rabbeinu talks to Hashem, and Hashem says, Hinei makom iti, you want to see my greatness? There's a place with me where I can show you. It's not, he's not seeing Hashem, but he's seeing, Moshe Rabbeinu is seeing his fullest comprehension of Hashem. Every person has a makom. It means the fullest degree of your understanding of something, and it can mean the fullest degree of your understanding, your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the idea is it's a constant. At that point, it's unchanging. Yeah.
So it's acknowledged that Hashem does not have a place. Now, why is it that when it comes to Nachama, that the name of Hashem is used as Hamakom Nachem Hashem? Why is that chosen?
Different explanations of that.
In relation to that.
Some say that since Hashem is called Hamakom, because he is Makomo Shalom, every place is within him, so that becomes a substitute.
Every place is within him.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but there's a reason for it. It becomes a substitute word when you don't want to say Hashem's actual name. And it's almost a play on words. Hamakom, the place, means him, and it's used in place of. This form actually explains the way. Hamakom, in place of, just like Hashem means the name. God is not Hashem, that means the name of God, but you're not saying the name. So Hamakom means in place of. So in instances where either something is unclean or we're in a state of depression, we're sad and we don't have the chedva, the joy to say Hashem's name, so we say Hamakom. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, if I recall correctly, in a Sefer on Chumash, gives this explanation. And he says, there's a footnote there that he quoted him, that he said he remembers Alta Yiddish Afroyan, old Jewish women who were learned, that if they would be working in the kitchen and you'd greet them, and maybe, I don't know, they're dealing with something that's not familiar, cleaning a chicken or something, and you say, how are you? They would say, I thank the one that the hands are not clean right now, meaning brackets. They don't want to say, I thank the Ribbono Shalom, because they didn't feel they were in a state to say Ribbono Shalom. So he uses that as an example of Hamakom. So there are different explanations why the Gemara does talk about it, but that's just some explain. It becomes a substitute for Hashem, but that's in usage. Now we're talking in Yesod, in the real principle. Hamakom doesn't, it's not really a description of Hashem, it's a description of my relationship vis-a-vis Hashem. And in the footnote there, he cites the Shir Koma of Rav Moshe Cordovero, which by coincidence is right here. Shir Koma is a deep Kabbalah Sefer of the great Mekubal Rav Moshe Cordovero, where he talks about this. He has a chapter called Makom, and most of it is Kabbalah and some, but he certainly uses terminology that says this. Ube'erach mitzad hamasig, and it's from the perspective of the fathomer, not the fathomed, but the one who is trying to understand, not the understood, not him, but us. Yikara ha-saga ha-hi makom. My understanding of Hashem is called makom. He's not called makom. My understanding of him is called makom. Tahainu mitzias amidasa. His existence, but it's only per what I understand. Uloze oso ha-kavar ha-alyan yusag ad makom kvios hamasik. It's only per what the thinker, the understander can get. Shelo yosef ve'alze kivin. There are many statements of our sages that once you understand this rule, this insight, you can understand. Kol makom shehatzadikim sham hakadosh baruch hu nimtza sham. Every place where the righteous are found there, Hashem is there. He says, you know what that means? It means the degree of understanding him that the righteous achieve, Hashem says, okay, I'll exist at that level. He's really beyond that, but that's the way, the degree to which the righteous can understand. There's also a drush on the pasuk from the end of Mishlei from Eishes Chayil. Noda basha'arim bala. Her husband, or you can read this way, her master is known basha'arim. Basha'arim means in the gates, but Chazal say, al tikri basha'arim ela b'shi'urim. If it's talking about the Almighty, it don't read it as gates, but read it as measure. He's known in measures. What do you mean he's known in measures? He's unknowable. He is infinite, but we know him to a certain degree. And when he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hine makom iti, there's a place with me. It's not me, but it's a place with me. So ultimately he says, V'nimtza, this is the Rav Moshe Cordovero, makom ha-saga eno chutz mimenu ve'eno hu ba'atzmo. The place, quote-unquote, of fathoming him is not entirely not him, but it's not him either. In other words, it's our level of understanding him. Just that idea probably goes deeper than even then I understand it. This is the makom of my understanding it. But now at least you understand the usage. With that, you'll understand what Rav Kook is talking about. He's going to say a very deep idea. And let me paraphrase it a little bit, and then we'll read it inside. Apparently, we relate to Hashem in two different ways. There's a constant burgeoning understanding of him. It's always growing. The more Torah one learns, broader and deeper understandings of the Almighty, and Bezras Hashem, that should always be growing. At a different level, there's a constant, which I am elaborating a little bit now, but I assume is what he means, that it's per the nature of the individual neshama. This svarim talk about each person's neshama is carved from a certain place, and that makes there's certain potential, then there's certain limits. So there's certain things where it's a kind of per what my neshama can grasp of him, and that's a constant, and that's makom. Rav Kook has a fascinating idea. He says in tefillah, it's supposed to be the constant relationship. Torah, it's always growing. You learn more, you understand more. But tefillah, and he says, ultimately, that's the idea of being koveya makom letfilaso. You think it just means where you stand in shul? Being koveya makom letfilaso at a deeper level means every time you daven, you're returning to that special relationship that you have with Hashem. Is it grasping the Almighty? It's impossible. It's your makom. It's your understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's specific to you. You first have to work to get to that level, but once a person gets to that level, that's a special relationship a person has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's constant. And he says, that's what it means to be koveya makom. Tefillah is not supposed to be all over the place. Today I'm here, and tomorrow I'm there. Tefillah is supposed to be, you go back, and if you look at the actual verses in the Torah from which the idea of koveya makom letefillah is derived, it very much jives with this. Avraham Avinu returns to the place where he davened. Tefillah is, that's your special place. That's your place with Hashem. That's unchanging. My knowledge of him can grow, but tefillah is like going back to that comfortable spot. I don't know if that's the right term to use, but that place with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not him, but it's my grasping of him, my relationship to him.
So while you're in Avelis, you're supposed to change your Makom Kavala in Hashem.
Maybe it's because, based on this,
I would think you would need it more. You would need the comfort more of that.
Mm-hmm. But maybe it's because without Simcha, we're not quite back. We're not quite fully back. In Avelis, a person is a little bit out of... When Yaakov Avinu was said over Yosef, he didn't have Nevuah. There's an idea when we're not fully besimcha, we strive for it, but we're not... A full relationship with Hashem has to be besimcha. So I would imagine that that's what it means at this level of understanding. I'm paraphrasing a little bit what he's going to say. He says a fascinating idea I never saw anywhere else based on this. The Gemara derives not to eat before Shachar. So I'm not getting into the halachic aspect to what degree that's relevant to women based on their obligation in tefillah. Yes, no, maybe so. Yeah, kiddush, no kiddush. Okay, yeah, that's in halacha shir. But here we're talking about halachic principles, the idea behind them. So there's a pasuk lo sochu al hadam, don't eat on the blood, which Chazal derive many things from. It has to do with karbonos as well, but one meaning of lo sochu al hadam, the Gemara says, and some says actually da'oraisa, don't eat until you've davened for your blood. But it means don't eat before davening in the morning. And also there's a pasuk, the same Gemara quotes a pasuk when Hashem sends Achiah Hashiloni to rebuke Yeravim ben Nevat. Well, the story is fascinating that Yeravim needs Achiah, so he just tells his wife to disguise herself, but Achiah is a Navi, and he knows before he says, oh, welcome, Mrs. Yeravim, I knew you were coming, and gives it to her over the head. But anyway, and he says, he gives a Musar, Osi Hishlachta Acharei, it's a typo here, Osi Hishlachta Acharei Gavecha, you threw me behind your back, to eat first, and then Dav is like throwing Hashem behind my shoulders, throwing Hashem over my back. But Rav Kook gives an idea here. The simple understanding is spiritual needs before physical needs. God before custard donut. That's the simple idea of not eating before davening. But he says, based on this idea, and this is fascinating, that no, it's because you don't want to have a variable relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ooh, I just had a continental breakfast. Ah, now I feel this way. But then the next day, I just had some Wheaties. Then it's not a consistent, you don't want to be a beneficiary. It's a bad marshal, but it's like when you need to take a blood test, they tell you to fast 12 hours in advance or whatever. So you get a regular, a steady sample. So tefillah is supposed to be a steady sample. It's a not a great mashal, but of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't want it to come from a particular benefit. Fascinating idea. I never saw that anywhere else. But that, the reason why he's getting into all of this is because, remember, he's saying Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov is the foundation of all Avodas Hashem. And he's saying, and that's supposed to be a constant. And what he's saying is, even though you can have these fluctuating levels, I feel this today, but ultimately there's this idea of a constant relationship. So he's connecting this idea to that one. So if we'll read from the top of Mem Beis, She'avo pi she'avoda, even though service, befrat ha'avoda she'balev, particular service of the heart, as opposed to things you do, but service of the heart, mitzad ha'karos gedulos yisbarach v'romus kvoda, which comes from the angle, the perspective of recognizing his greatness and the loftiness of his glory, shehu ha'tov ha'amiti, which is the ultimate good. The ultimate good we receive is the ability to perceive Hashem. E efshir shetiyat shleimusa b'kviyos madrega. It's impossible for its completion to be in at a set level. He's infinite, but we're always climbing higher and getting higher and higher in this, so it shouldn't be a constant. The adarava, to the contrary, kol masha Yosef das, Yosef havchanu umala. To the contrary, the more he increases his das, the more he increases his discernment and his level. Now I understand Hashem more. I learned this concept. I understood that it should always be changing. Aval tfila nikres chayesha. But tefillah is called ephemeral life. He's alluding again to that Gemara which he quoted earlier in one of the pieces we learned, where Rava criticized Rav Amnuna for davening when he should have been learning, and he says he abandons chaye olam, eternal life, and is involved in chaye shah, is involved in ephemeral life. This is very deep. I believe Rav Kook is addressing something here. He's saying in Torah we're always growing, and our relationship to our understanding of Hashem in Torah is always growing. But he's presenting this idea, which seems to be based on the concept of makom, as described by Kabbalah Svarim, that in tefillah there's supposed to be some kind of a constant. So he's asking a question, but why? Our understanding of God should always be growing, so it shouldn't be a constant. He's saying that's in the realm of chaya olam, that's in the realm of Torah, as per that Gemara. But tefillah is like this worldly relationship with Hashem. When you're studying Torah, you're connecting to Hashem at the level of neshama, at a higher level. But tefillah is the way you relate to Hashem within your olam hazeh eyes, your this worldly eyes. And he says there it's supposed to be constant. V'tachlisa, and its ultimate purpose, gam kein lotzes yidei chovas avoda mitzad hakar satov. Its goal is to fulfill the obligation of service coming from recognizing good. And now he puts in that idea that I just told you. V'alkein, this is set off by dashes because it's sort of an aside, but it's a fascinating thing. V'alkein ein l'kabel kodam ha'tfila tova morgeshes. Therefore, one should not be the beneficiary. One should not receive before tefillah a good that's very felt. When you eat something, you feel very different. I was hungry, I ate it. So you're not supposed to receive a very perceivable, very palpable benefit before tefillah. Kemo shedarshu chazal, as our sages derive from ilo sochu al adam, umei osi yishlachta acharei gavecha. Here to the footnotes, right? It's a footnote to Zion says, Vavam Rav, it's really Yudam at Beis. It's a Gemara in Brachos, where the Gemara says you shouldn't eat on the blood, or you shouldn't throw Hashem behind your back, meaning don't eat first and then daven and then eat. Again, simple understanding is, because that should come first. He's saying there's a different problem with it. It makes that the tefillah is not coming from a constant makom. And if so, yeshla madrega miyuchedes b'kol echad. If so, it has a specific level in each person. Lefi erech hatova shebiyodo mehakel hatov. Per the value or the weight of the good that's in his hand, meaning that he's received from the good God. That is an idea that the Chovas Halvavos talks about at length. Every creature's service of Hashem is based on the good that it's received. And he goes through, he says, therefore, if you're a human being, you're the greatest creature, so I have to thank Hashem more than anything else. If you're a zocha to be a member of Am Yisrael, you have a special level, even more. If he says if a person's a Kohen or a Levi, if a person was given a certain circumstance in life, a certain blessed faculty in life, a great chacham, a great this, a great that, every benefit we have in life, that's my specific station of Hakaras HaTov. But he's saying the idea that I learned from Rav Kook is that it's supposed to be a constant. My relationship with Hashem. Did it this morning, I'll come back to it. Mincha time, I'll come back to it. You're revisiting that makom. Just like you go to that physical spot, if you, which is the ideal way of daven. You can daven without it, but it's the ideal way. So too, tefillah is revisiting a special place of relationship with Hashem.
Because if you look at it like a relationship, and you just said, like, if you sort of like itemize all the things that you're grateful for, and that's what you're basing it on, as those things become diminished, you know, are you, you don't want to then diminish your relationship. You know, you can go from a place of, you know, great, you know, jobs, family, whatever, as each one, you know, things change.
That's a very good point.
You want to change your relationship to Hashem. You want to be as grateful and feel the hakaras hatov when you don't have the job, when you lose a relative, when you don't have circumstance, you know, like all of those things. It's
a very good point, because it's interesting. Yeah, he was bringing up the question from the angle of, well, why is it constant? It should also be growing. But you're pointing out, but one of the good things about constant is it also
is that it's constant,
right?
Even though
it may not be growing,
change.
But it's also not shrinking. This is
exactly.
My relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
No matter what.
I could be on top of the world, God forbid, a person could be the bottom of the world, but this is my place with Hashem. It's a makom. It's what I understand of Hashem. It's not because I had a good breakfast today. Right? It's a very good point. I think that's an important point.
But doesn't the constancy change as we grow? Like as so we've got like the burgeoning Torah, we've got that. So that changes us to a different person. So that means that our constancy with Hashem has to change also.
I don't know the answer to that. Yeah.
But that says that we change, but not the your understanding of Hashem.
Your understanding of Hashem is going to change as you advance in Torah knowledge, as you advance in understanding.
I mean, it would seem to me that a person who knew very little of Bitachon and Emunah and then studies the Sfarim to describe what exactly Hashem does for me, yeah, you would think that the feeling of my Shemona Esrei changes when I feel like I'm communing with Hashem. You would think it does change as my Chachma of Him. I think he means once a person reached a certain level of Das, it should be somewhat constant. Just like the Rashi that he referred us to in footnote Yudal, it says that Makir Es Makomo is used when a person has processed something fully, and this is his opinion, which is always fascinating in Halacha. Moshe Feinstein views it this way. If someone can write him a letter and say, "What? This is the way I view it," and he'll knock down those proof. But he views it that way, and he's not trying. That is their das. That's so. I think it means once a person has worked on it and achieved the das of Hashem, you know, it's not from our earliest beginnings, but it's once you achieve a certain level, then there is some constance. I mean, you can see it in people's intellectual. There's some things that, let's say, even in secular, this is the way I view it. This is the way I see the world. You may get smarter in many other things, but some things, Hashem created it within a person's functioning. This is my perspective on things, and that doesn't change. So I think, l'havdil, it's like that in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to, it may be a while till we get there, but once we are in our makom, it's supposed to remain somewhat constant. That's I think, the answer. Yeah.
I'm wondering if the makom isn't a place that you're born with and that you just have to develop.
Yeah, I think the neshama is created that way, but it takes a long time till you get to the level of knowing what it is, of processing that into our being. I think it is by creation that way, but you have to rise to it. It can take many years. But that's makom. Fascinating idea. So we'll have to end soon. But now he says an idea also is based on Kabbalah, but voda zo hi mitzad ha-chesed. This service is from he means the midah of chesed, which is an idea in Kabbalah. Kemo shemavur b'reishis chachma shar ha'ava perakeh, which I'm sure you all learned. The Reishis Chachma is a sefer by a student of Rav Moshe Cordovero. It's a Kabbalah sefer. But in the fifth chapter there, he talks about, I think this is what it, I did take a look at it, and but most of it's Kabbalah, but what was the midah of Avram Avinu? Chesed. Avram Avinu is chesed. Avram Avinu is the one who related to chesed and therefore was perceptive of chesed. The same way he had a midah, he wanted to do good to others. He said, you know what, there's a being who's doing good to me. He was the one who perceived that this all must be, it's two sides of the same coin. If you're chesed oriented in giving, you're chesed oriented in perceiving when you're receiving, So this all comes from the midah of chesed. Al Kain, so now he goes to explain, this is all based on a Gemara. The Gemara says, it's a Gemara in Brachas, Kol HaKoveya Mokom L'Tfiloso Elokei Avram Ba'ozro. Anybody who establishes a place for his davening, has a makom kavua, the God of Avram will be his helper, will be there to him as a helper. And then and the Gemara continues and says, and not only that, but when he leaves the world, they say about him, Ey onav, ey chassid. What a humble person, what a righteous person. So now, you know, the Gemara is very difficult. The halachic sections of Gemara are difficult. The agadic sections of Gemara are 10 times more difficult because to figure out what it really means. Oh, very nice. I make a makom kavua. God of Avram will help me, and they're going to call me a humble and righteous person. What does that mean? I mean, I can read the words and translate, but what does it mean? So he's telling us, because recognizing, this may be an oversimplification per my makom, but recognizing good, hakaras hatov, comes from the midah of chesed. When you're in the realm of chesed, you do good, and you therefore perceive good. Avram Avinu, who was the one who wanted to do good, was the one who perceived good. So a person who's koveya makom, which means he establishes a set place of recognizing, no matter what, as you said, no matter what happens in my life, I'm the beneficiary of goodness of Hashem, a constant goodness of Hashem. It's hakaras hatov, it's not dependent on what happened in the stock market today or yesterday, what happened to my family. A constant recognition of hakaras hatov, it's my makom, my relationship with Hashem based on hakaras hatov. So a person who does that, he's able to establish that makom. The fact that you daven in a physical spot, that's the outgrowth of it. But he's saying that the depth of the Gemara is making my tefillah in a kviyas makom, in my neshama, in my mindset. So a person who does that, Elkei Avram Ba'ozer, the God of Avram, Avram, the Midah of Chesed, he will help him. And that's why when he leaves the world, they'll say about him, Ei Onav, Ei Chassid. Shalom Nomar Shemalas HaChassidus Hidavka Ba'avodas Ha'ava HaYoseh Rama. He's first talking about chassid. They'll call him a chassid, a righteous person. Rav Kook is saying that what the Gemara is trying to tell you is you shouldn't think that to be a chassid, you have to achieve the very high levels of service of Hashem out of ahava. A person who's able to do this, to establish, and chassid is chesed, to establish a constant feeling and recognition of good of Hashem, and that's why I recommune with Hashem in this place of recognizing good that he does for me, that's a constant, that is chassid. You don't, what the Gemara is trying to tell you is don't think you need the higher levels. To be called chassid, to be called being in the realm of chesed. Apparently, the more one understands those higher levels, you could very much think to be a real chassid, you have to achieve those higher levels. He's saying, no, a person who's koveya makom. Koveya makom means you have the basic level, the constant, unchanging hakaras hatov. There are higher levels than that, but if you get that, you're already a chesed. That's locking into the midah of chesed. And we'll have to continue next time. We'll come back to this next time. We'll see also why he says onov. But in a word, that's the idea that he's saying here. Kviyas makom betfil. This is a new way of understanding the holiday of koveya makom. It's not just about where you stand. It's about a set place in your relationship with Hashem, because the usage of makom means a set place in your understanding. And what he's saying it means is a set place in recognizing the good of Hashem that's constantly upon us. And if we're able to do that, and every time you step forward for Shemona Esrei, you're back in that set place, you've achieved a great level of chassidus. Okay, we'll continue next time. Metz Hashem. I hope this was sufficiently deep.